Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Did Nia Jax just turn heel? I'm Ollie Davis, this is Luke Cohen, welcome to Wrestle Ramble. And on last night's episode of Raw, Nia Jax comes out after, I would say, a good month and a half maybe, of being an anti-bullying advocate to bully someone, a jobber, out of nowhere to sort of prove a point to Ronda Rousey, somewhat undoing a lot of work that they've done in recent times. What did you think of this segment?
Why? How long has she been a babyface for? Like,
we were trying to figure this out.
I think 2 months, maybe.
So she was, whenever she was aligned with Nia Jax, with Alexa Bliss.
Yes,
she was a heel. It was that moment when they caught Alexa Bliss bitching backstage to Nia Jax. Everyone fully got on. That was like the full babyface turn. So that was, that was like a month before
Mania.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so she's been a babyface for like 10 minutes, and then she's coming out and she's beating up this poor jobber.
Which is annoying. To flip flop like that, it's very Big Show esque. But what's even more frustrating is that there's no real reason for it. It's just like this feud dictates that we need a heel to go up against Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Nia, you are now a heel this week.
Yeah, I don't think it was like a heel turn. I just think it's positioning her as the sort of antagonist in this scenario. Because I guess in this story, she challenged Ronda for God knows what reason. She stepped up.
Because she's a fighting
champion.
Yeah, because
she's a fighting champion. And then Ronda was like, oh no, please. Oh my God. There's so many other people on the roster that could...
Can you do it in the Ronda voice?
I can't remember what... How does the Ronda voice...
It was just more seductive.
And also my throat is quite sore. But yeah, I'll give it a shot. Oh no, please. Oh no, it's fine. I'll clear
it. All right, Nia. Listen, Nia. There's loads of other people on the roster. And I think they should go first. They should have a shot. And then me.
But it's uncanny.
If you insist, Nia, I will take you on at the Money in the Bank.
That was excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was like being right next to her.
Yeah.
You just need to have a little mean face.
If you were right next to her, she wouldn't be saying anything. Because she doesn't speak now. That's the other bit that happened in this segment, was that she came out and there were so many bits where the commentators tried to engage her in the conversation and she just went...
She's too busy. Underneath, you couldn't see it, but underneath the desk, she's pointing.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I mean, like last week, I said she thinks she's an anime character, but I think this week she thinks she's a mime. She's trying to do it all in.
She did have, in all fairness to Rousey, she did have one very good off the cuff moment, and it was when Nia kind of forgot the name of the armbar.
Oh yes,
and Rousey says on commentary quite very quick wittedly, if she can't remember the name of the armbar, how's she going to remember the counter to the armbar? Which was like, oh, that actually tied into the match you're eventually going to have. But yeah, the rest of it, because it
was
WWE scripted.
She'd written that down on her arm, though. That was why she was like, she'd run out of space, and that's why she had nothing else to say.
On the inside of the point, on the index finger. But yeah, this segment, just to give a recap of it, Nia Jax comes out, and then like, halfway through her entrance music, then Rousey's music hits because she's going to be on commentary, and Nia Jax is just going to squash this jobber, but she does it with the microphone. She's like, I'm going to... This is what happens if you try and put an armbar on me, Rousey. And she kind of powers up out and slams this jobber down.
Yeah, I thought that was quite cool. She had her up for a fair while as well there.
It looked great, And then she said... And like, she was smiling. It's a really good heel. Like, it was a real good heel performance, but not a full turn, I suppose. And then she said, oh, and I'm going to do this when you're down on the ground. And she hit this like crazy flipping, running senton thing, which landed completely on this poor jobber's chest. Yeah.
Who is? She's dead now.
Yeah, poor thing. And then she invites Rousey down here to help out the wrestler who just disappeared.
Yeah.
Presumably to the same place Renee Young went to. Just... Naya, I don't feel so good.
Naya, I don't feel so good. It wasn't quite as sort of serene as in Infinity War. Mm. I think as Naya hit her, she just imploded.
Kind of like the old Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you stake a vampire.
Oh, yeah. Saw her skeleton for a brief moment and then it was gone.
A flash. And then Rousey comes down and... Yeah, they just kind of look at each other. Rousey does the mean face, looking mean, and then Naya just laughs in it and walks off. Said, "Oh, that's the big mean intimidating face that I'm meant to be afraid of," which was cool. But it's like after this segment was done, I wasn't any more. I was less excited about the eventual match.
Yeah, it could have just been they could have just booked it like it was. A main event sort of showstopper. They could have just done it like this is a once in a lifetime, or they could have done the sort of Samoa Joe Brock kind of thing without really doing it too heelish.
With like the pull apart brawls, you mean?
Yeah, and I think it's just having it be let's just do this as a big money match rather than it doesn't have to be Nia's called her out. Isn't she bad for doing that? Like as I think a champion who calls someone out and says I'm going to defend my title, that's a good champion.
Yes.
Not someone who then gets all. Why is she suddenly gloating about it? Mm. I liked the gloating. I liked the sort of like, come on, honey, get up. Like I loved all that stuff. It was good, but there's absolutely no need for it.
It's just come out of nowhere. Yeah.
It would have been a completely fine match.
The Naya stuff. I guess the only reason I can come up with is that in last week's segment, which was the contract signing with Stephanie McMahon, and Stephanie McMahon was playing them off against each other, and she said to Naya, "Oh, Ronda thinks you're lazy." These ways of just saying you're overweight without saying you're overweight. Mm. But Stephanie's words, not as snowflakes. That could have possibly got. I guess that could be their reasoning, but it's not enough. Like for a viewer to cling on to.
Unless they like next week, Ronda comes out and she's being the heel, and Naya's being the babyface in that, like in their interaction. So maybe they're just gonna, I don't know, wind each other up because beat up jobbers, but wind each other up every week.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Like, Ronda comes out.
If it's the same jobber as well. So this poor girl is just getting obliterated every week.
Yeah, I've
next week she's got
out.
A broken arm. She's got crushed, caved-in ribs from this week.
Like, when was the last wrestler you really got behind whose main character was just, I'm a really good person?
Mm.
Like, you look back at Stone Cold and The Rock, and I know that was the Attitude Era, it was a different time. But they're all badasses. Stone Cold would routinely stunner nice people, and it was awesome.
But that I guess that was an accident with Stone Cold almost, though, wasn't it? That he started coming out in what they thought was a heel sort of persona, and then he got so overdoing it that he was like, oh, I'm accidentally a babyface now. So, and the same with The Rock. Like his transition back and forth between heel and babyface was almost so... I don't know, it just kind of happened on you, and you went like... It wasn't too much like... he's doing this. He just was kind of the same character a lot.
So, I mean,
the good guy sort of thing we're going to talk about later, but it would be Lashley is what they're currently trying to do, and it's going great. It's going well.
Well, should we get on with the whole show?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay.
Haha, it's a Raw review looking jacked, man.
Just because we forgot to mention it in the Ronda Rousey bit just now. Mm-hmm. Confused face at the end. What did you make of Rousey's confused face?
Like all of our other faces.
Pretty similar.
Yeah, it's shoot just...
Yeah. It's like, it still works. It's kind of Blue Steel-esque. There's not much difference, I can tell, between Blue Steel and, is it Magnum? The one he debuts at the end?
They're so different.
Yeah, to a trained, cultured eye like yours,
yeah,
maybe.
Absolutely, yeah.
But to a fashion philistine like myself, I can't. They look like just Ben Stiller pouting.
Yeah, wow.
So, but I think it's the same with Rousey. Although there's no discernible difference between the confused face and the aggressive, confronting face, it still gets over the right emotion.
I feel like she needs to do sort of like the cards they do for autistic people, but for everyone. She just needs to hold up what she thinks she's conveying. Well, like the Elcor in Mass Effect that say before they do something, this is a sarcastic reply.
Right.
Sarcastic reply.
I'm glad you explained that. I wouldn't have got that reference. Although I did once play Mass Effect.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I had sex with something and then I stopped. I was done. It's weird how you lose interest in things, isn't it, after that moment of
climax. Well, it's once we realised the game didn't let you have a cigarette, and that was the end of it.
So, the show kicked off properly with Braun Strowman coming out, and he declared himself, which, when Braun said it, sounded really awesome, but when I read it back and say it myself, sounds like a Mr. Men book.
Yeah.
Mr. Monster in the Bank.
Mr. Monster in the Bank. It's that, well, because they used to be the toys, didn't they? Monsters in my pocket, and that's all I can think of. It's like, there's a monster in the bank.
He said it intimidating. I say it. Oh, it's little Mr. Monster in the bank.
In a dark, dark house, down the dark, dark stairs, there's a bank vault in that bank, Mr. Monster.
We are, just you know, that's the opening jingle of another YouTube channel's show.
Oh, is it?
Yes, for another wrestling YouTube channel show. We've got sort of a Room 101 thing.
Well.
Just because people are going to point that out, what is that a play on originally?
It's the Funny Bones, isn't it?
Oh, yes. So,
which is what I was doing, the original content.
Just in case people kick off in the comments and shout crossover and invasion and other things. So, Braun,
where would you get invasion from as well? Like, that's
people.
That would be so stupid.
This is our job to see, like, Rey Mysterio hints about a Latino World Order. So it's going to be a WWE invasion, quite obviously.
There'll be no invasion.
So
not on WrestleTalk.
Braun says that he's going to get these hands. The briefcase is going to get these hands, and he's going to become the Money in the Bank man, the Mr. Money in the Bank man monster.
Mr. Monster Man money thing.
Mr. Bank Monster. He's going to eat all the money.
Oh, yeah, like the cookie, terrorize like the tellers.
And he says he's going to cash it in on Brock Lesnar.
Class.
And I saw a funny meme of Brock Lesnar's strategy after Money in the Bank. Can't cash it in if I'm not there.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's very smart. Yeah. Although, can you? Maybe you could.
What, like the old hardcore championship?
Yeah, 24/7? Like 24/7, like a 24/7 thing. You have to like call them up. He said, Braun comes down to the ring. He's like, I'm cashing in, and then they're calling Brock, and he's like, no, I'm not coming. They're like, you're gonna have to, man. Like, it's like, no, I'm not coming down.
And then
get on a flight, and he's Braun flying out.
Yeah, he commandeers like a horse or something, and he rides the horse.
He wouldn't fit a horse.
What else could he ride? A rhino.
Yes.
So he rides a rhino to Brock Lesnar.
He's riding a giraffe around.
Yeah, something Jumanji-esque with a load of other wild animals towards Brock Lesnar.
If it's Jumanji-esque, the rhino is riding Braun. He's just carrying the rhino.
He lobs that
at Brock. And he lawn darts it at Brock. Mm-hmm. And that's how he wins the championship.
Nice. So yes, that's a...
That's my prediction.
Great fantasy booking piece. But then Finn Balor comes out And he, because this is playing off the really quite good main event of last week's show, which was Balor and Braun, and that show of respect at the end. But here, as soon as Balor got in the ring, Braun kind of undid that somewhat by saying, "You put up a good fight for a small guy."
Yep.
Which was, I thought you could do without.
Yeah, but I guess they wanted to quickly. Let's how quickly can we get into this match that we need to have right now?
Well, not quickly enough where Kurt Angle could forego the usual full entrance.
Yes, I thought that as well. I was like, yeah, he's like, they're literally brawling and he's coming out to stop it, but he's like, first of all, he's going to do a bit of that. Like, you suck.
He's got to get his S word in. He's got to get his suck in.
What he sucks at is managing. he's a terrible manager.
He's not good at his job, is he?
No, he's bad. Like, he's a fine wrestler. He's god awful at keeping his brand under control.
And he's always on his phone.
He is, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what always worries me. A man who is that distracted by other people's calls.
Yeah, he's just going through the grams.
post inspirational thing. Live stream, Facebook Q&A. That's what he loves to do. He's probably on his app. You know, he's got that addiction app.
Does he?
Yeah. Well. So Finn slaps Braun, and that's what starts off. You know, what a ill-advised thing to do to Braun Strowman. I really like that from Finn, but I didn't like the immediate smile of Finn afterwards.
No, they keep doing that with Finn. Keeps doing that. He keeps doing things that are like slightly. So he did that after the Seth Rollins thing, where he did the inverted DDT out of nowhere at the end of a match, and then he just stood in the middle of the ring, grinning like an idiot.
I think WWE and Finn thinks it's funny, but based on like the whole over thing and the forever push that he kept on doing over like the Christmas months, I feel like this is. It's kind of a trolling our kind of fan base thing.
Yeah, but I would prefer to just make him a heel. Like, I'd love to see him as a heel.
Or just a cool baby face who doesn't have to smile all the time. It's the same thing with Ronda, same thing with Bobby. What is it with WWE and this really two-dimensional smiley baby face at the moment?
This is why we need the cards.
It's why we need the what?
The little cards.
Yes.
So you can convey what emotion you're trying to convey.
That'd be really sad if Finn is beaming with a smile and he just... sadness.
I feel like that is what's happening.
Mm.
Every time he comes out and goes, "Do you remember when I was the Universal Champion all that time ago, and I had to give it back?"
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh yeah, you were, mate." I'm even past the point of being angry that you never got your rematch. So Kurt Angle, after the prolonged floppy wrist thing, made the match of Finn Balor and Braun Strowman. Which Kevin Owens came out for commentary, who did a gimmick where every so often he would get a microphone and shout words of encouragement and advice to either Finn or Braun, which was fine.
Yeah, I didn't really. It was, but he always sort of did it at the wrong point. It was, and it didn't make sense because he was encouraging them every time they got the upper hand. He was going, "Man, carry on, crack on doing this," but they stopped to listen to him.
Yeah,
so he was like, "Do it, you can do it." And it's like, he was doing it.
Yeah,
he was. You didn't need to do this.
Mind games. He's putting them off. He's a heel.
I just, I don't think so.
It didn't quite click. Yeah,
he should have been encouraging the guy on the floor, I think, and then putting off the person on top, and then switched it over.
But this turned into, just like the previous week, I thought this turned into a really good match when Finn started to get the upper hand on Braun.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty bland in the beginning, because they did that spot, and they did it straight off the bat, where Braun threw Finn clean across the rim. Ring?
The rim.
Across the rim.
Away.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so he chucked him across the ring.
He got some airtime.
Yeah, he got
that.
Some serious airtime. But he just did his little slingbait sort of spin in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that like three more times in the sort of Braun's beating him down moment, I guess. And then, it took too long for Finn to sort of mount the comeback. And by that point, you were just sort of like, I'm not really into this. I was a bit flat by that point.
I quite enjoyed it. I mean, like, maybe if this happened in hour two or three, I would have been fatigued and like, come and just get on with it. But this was the first match. I was okay with it. And then we got the great bit where Braun like does his rounding up
and then
he runs round the ring. This spot is so over now.
Yeah.
And he shoulder charges into Finn.
Absolutely.
Which sends him flying over the barricade. Looked great.
They should have done the same spot from last week, where Braun sends him over the barricade. And then Braun is leaning against the barricade. And then Balor pops up, but you can't see him.
Yes, so that would have been good. Just, the camera has to kind of...
Yeah, just tip, look up, just tip look over. And you over. Just...
So, yes, eventually... Finn hits a coup de grace, and in another nice reference to the... And WWE have gotten really good at this recently, or at least a few guys have, and that's in these week back-to-back matches, they'll find a way to play off and riff off previous spots. It's like with all the Seth Rollins and Balor stuff before, and now with Finn and Braun here, it's really nice. Rewards long-time viewing. So Finn gets up to hit a second coup de grace, just like Braun had to use two power slams to put Finn away as like a show of respect last week. But then that's when Owens attacks them both with a ladder and causes the DQ. So I guess Finn won. But it's good that this was a really smartly booked finish. Finn looks good because he nearly had the win. Yeah, and Braun so is protected. I thought this was good booking.
I was watching that. I was like, you can't have... Their 50-50 booking dictates that you would have Finn win this one, but
Braun is too big.
All the commentary at the moment is, Mr. Monster in the Bank, who's going to happen? Who's the number one? He's the big guy. He's going to win.
Which commentator's that?
These are all of them. This is these are what you can't hear. It's like the Yanni Laurel thing. Mm. It's actually all three voices happening at once, so it sounds like this.
Yeah, when you merge them all in, like that face. The face merge thing. Mm. Yeah, but with voices. So Owens uses the ladder and he attacks Braun with it, and Braun's like, no, mate. And he throws Owens out the ring. And then he, like he would launch a rhino, he launches this ladder. It goes halfway up the ramp.
Yeah, it's. I was shocked that they let that happen, because I was like, what if he just does that slightly wrong? Because he's just going to clobber some fans.
Because it wasn't like he threw it like a javelin. No. He threw it so it was widthways across him. And the ramp is only, I guess, 2 feet wider either side of the ladder. There's not much margin for error.
No.
So that could have hit a ringside fan. Do you remember when Brock Lesnar started ripping off the door of a car and he threw the car door into the audience hit a fan?
Yeah.
It could be a bit like that. But yeah, you're right. I was...
I was genuinely, because that was such a cool moment though, and like Owens did really well to sort of still just be rolling like out of the way. He got up and he'd run off to a safe distance. He was literally just out of the way. Mm.
And then Owens tries to leave the arena afterwards, fear
with his little bag.
Yeah, he's a little wheelie. Yeah. And Kurt says, "You've got a match against Bobby Roode later, so
you have to stay." He was looking for the valet though to get the keys to his car, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah. So, but then they had a little man in a valet costume, which I don't know if that I maybe that's a thing in like arenas, backstage at arenas in America, but I feel like it wouldn't be.
Maybe Owens paid.
If anyone knows, can you let me know? Because I just wonder if they've got a little valet costume they keep just in case they're doing a bit where someone needs their car.
This was your big standout question.
I would just keep my own car keys. I think if I
in the bag,
I'd keep it in my little bag. You know. Mm. Well, down my trunks.
In the match, if you fall on that the wrong way.
Because then you could spend a bit of time pushing in between your fingers, and then you've got sort of like makeshift nucks.
Yes. Well, like a little jab with a key inside.
Yeah.
So next up, we had a Sasha Banks promo. and she just said she's going to win Money in the Bank. We got a few of these to build up the gauntlet match, which was the main event of the show.
Yes.
Yes.
If Sasha wins... Miss Money in the Bank. Miss Sasha Money in the Banks.
I don't know why it took me so long to realise this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Banks' last name is Banks.
Yeah, but that's what she was saying, wasn't it? Because that was the thing that was referenced by Bailey later, was that Sasha had said her name's already on the contract. It is. And then Bailey was like, but it's my name on the contract. It's like, no, Sasha's is literally on the... It's half her name is written there.
That was such a really bad retort. Like so Banks has this promo now in the show, and Bailey has this promo near the end of the show. She's had like, 2 hours to think about a retort? She goes, no, my name is on the contract.
It me, guys.
Yeah.
It me.
So Elias comes out next, and he's just incredible. He is my favourite thing in WWE. No, that's a lie. He's my favourite thing on Raw right now.
Yeah. So what's your favourite thing on SmackDown?
Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan, which is happening tonight. But he's just everything from the way he composes himself. Mm. He can masterfully work the crowd. When it comes to actual wrestling, it kind of falls apart. But that part, that this performing part of his character, God, he's like one of the best at executing character in WWE.
I'm so surprised they didn't find this out in NXT.
Mm.
Like, it was so weird that they never clocked on to this bit of, like, the fact that they, because in NXT they sold him as a badass drifter who came in and squashed people, and he doesn't look squashy. He's not, you know.
And he the drifter was more of a part of his character, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Remember when he first debuted on the main roster?
And he would just come in around, like, every so,
But
then they realised
so
he could talk, and then, now they don't have to have him actually do a match, which is great.
And, because when was the last time? Oh, like 2 weeks ago, actually. Most of the time, Elias just does...
Tries to do a performance.
Yeah, and then attacks
someone. And then gets cross because no one lets him. That section was really good, though. And he didn't even sing this week as well. He just sort of juiced every single bit that you could get out of the just interacting with the crowd. Because also, the crowd really got turned against him in this one. Like, normally, they kind of want to... They want him to sing, they want him to perform, and they get into it. And this week they're actually going, leave!
Yeah.
Get out! Like, you've insulted us too much. Leave!
Well, it's just so petty as well. Because he said, can the lights be made darker? Bring the spotlight more on me, because the people in Virginia are very ugly and disgusting looking. And that was like, the Virginia was like, boo! No! And then he's, can you all shut up as well? So all that stuff. And I thought, because then it goes to commercial, and I thought, please come back, and he's still there. Yeah. And it came back, and he's still there. So he's been ragging on the crowd for at least 4 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, but also, it's a hard line to play as well, because if the plan is that you don't sing, but you need to fill the time in the commercial break for like 3 minutes, but he can't really get the song going because that's the point.
Yeah,
it's making that sort of last that time is impressive.
Very impressive. And then it kind of whips the crowd into a frenzy for when the babyface eventually does come out.
Mm.
And in this case, it was... I've called him Red Rollins.
Red Rollins. I wrote he was... Well, it was his birthday, wasn't it?
So yes.
He was wearing his Power Rangers costume, is what I thought. His little Red Ranger costume. He's dressed as Jason.
He comes out and he throws Elias's stool out the ring, but not as far as the ladder in the previous
segment.
It's
just impossible.
Mm. And he... Elias leaves, foreshadowing for after the match. And then he has a really good match against Jinder Mahal, of all people.
And that was the best match on the show, I thought.
Do you think?
I genuinely thought that was the best match on the show.
I would have to agree with you. Yeah, in fact, it's not even close, really, is it?
No.
Because the McIntyre-Gable match was too short.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Balor-Strowman match was half not...
Half that, really half, good and yeah. half sort of, yeah.
And the Gauntlet match was blur.
Yeah,
and then it's only really this as an actual match. But yeah, it was like, it was good. It was always engaging, but I really, really got into it when Jinder got the chair and all the heel stuff started to come out. Sunil Singh was ejected from ringside, and that's when Jinder used the chair on Seth's already worked over stomach. And that was a really good near fall. I actually bought into that near fall. That Jinder might win the IC title to defend against Roman.
I did
Money
actually,
in the Bank.
I really did, yeah.
But this was really good. And Rollins sort of drags Sunil back in, and he buckle bombs him onto Jinder.
Yeah.
That was a great spot, which he doesn't really do anymore, the buckle bomb.
No.
After Finn's injury.
Oh, yeah, I think everyone's...
And Sting, but
I'm sure it would be fine in the turnbuckle. The buckle bomb onto the...
Barricade.
The barricade one, that was... He threw him from far too far away, I think, and Finn didn't, like, lance, backsplat on it properly, did
kind
he?
Of
he sort of he landed like that,
But this was a really good match, I thought, and with a smart finish, because just like in the Braun Strowman-Balor match, you don't really want to beat either guy.
Yeah.
So it totally made sense for Seth to just have enough of all of Jinder's cheating.
Yeah, too much shenanigans.
Get the chair himself, especially because Jinder attacked him and Roman with the chair the previous week, and he just takes out Jinder for the DQ. Technically, Jinder won, but neither man looks weaker for it.
No.
And then... Seth chases him up the ramp and celebrates on the commentary table, and that's when we get the return
of Elias.
And he clobbers. What is that guitar made of? Powder.
Yeah, it's made of Rene Young.
I don't feel so good, Elias. And Seth sells this by lawn darting himself into the ground off the commentary desk, which is already raised off of the
and he just chucks himself down into that little the bit where they just keep all the wires.
The unforgiving wires.
They've always just keep the wires there.
The technical area.
Yeah,
but what's it full
there's
of?
No staff there.
Technical.
There's no staff. It's an unstaffed technical area just full of cables.
Trip hazards.
Yeah. This is where the trip hazards live, yeah. And it's all taped down. But
this brings out he gets the full stretcher job treatment.
Yeah,
it's played up like it's a big deal. So, I mean, a Seth Rollins versus Elias feud is by no means unappealing.
No, I would like that.
Yeah, and especially with Seth being such a good wrestler at the moment, really. Mm. He's so hot right now.
He is so hot right now.
And Elias, that's the bit where he falls down on. Yeah. So an Elias versus Seth match could actually work wonders for Elias and getting him over as a threat inside the ring.
Rollins could
carry him to
it.
Plus, like, the only problem
here
is
then you just get more Elias.
Yes, yeah, definitely. With Seth.
Yeah.
And so it's a fresh matchup. But when Seth started the whole Intercontinental title open challenge, I was hoping for more, like your Mojo Rawleys, your Chad Gables, but we've had Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it's been quite big so far.
And pre-announced stuff as well.
Yeah, it's weird that it so quickly went from an open challenge to just him going, oh no, you've annoyed me this week, so it's you. Next week it's you, because you've... It's just basically just, people who've pissed him off that week, and he's just like, yep, you, and then you.
Did you know, interesting fact, you're an NXT fan, so I think you know this. When have Jinder and Seth previously faced?
They faced on NXT, did they?
Not just... This is a historic match.
Yeah.
In 2002... sorry, 2012, it's not that far back, developmental.
I feel like Seth would have still been in school.
Tyler Black, yeah. So Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal for the first ever NXT championship.
There you go.
And here they are, later.
I was thinking about this earlier, because we see, talking about taking Jinder back to his roots. Got Jinder here, Drew's back, and he's Judy Dench too.
Judy. Right.
Let's get Heath Slater on some male growth hormones or cod liver oil or whatever.
Yes.
And let's get Three Man Band back together, but as just really jacked dudes.
It's almost like when you have a rather innocent cartoon series from the 80s and then someone remakes that these days as a super dark, muscled up Rob Liefeld drawing.
I feel like that's the reverse of what's happening though, as the Thundercats thing from last week has proved, which was muscle cats to kitty cats.
Little kitty cats.
Little tiny little kitty cats.
I was never attached to the Thundercats thing, never really watched it. I think it looks like a fun little endeavour.
To be honest, I think if you're writing about it on the internet, you're not the target audience, because the people who are meant to be watching it don't really have access to phones.
Yeah, fair enough. So then we got the Nia Jax versus Babyface Continuity segment, which we've already talked about. And then we got
Nia Jax versus her own continuity. Yeah.
what a sort of not metaphysical.
Yeah, metaphysical.
Attack.
Yeah, it would be
existential.
It'll have to be like a sort of that bit in Doctor Strange where he just goes off in his own head and it's all trippy. I'm sure WWE would be able to film that beautifully as well as the House of Horrors show. They're really good for an imaginative segment.
They can take a concept and execute that visually.
Yeah, they can really run with stuff. All those promos of Bray Wyatt stood in a cupboard with just one uplight.
Speaking of visually inventive promos, Dana Brooke had a blackboard behind her, or a green board.
Yeah,
is that the same thing? That seems to be an American thing. We have blackboards over here with chalk, but this was green with chalk.
I've had green boards at school.
Okay, fair enough.
Just cheaper.
And she
get it in the rougher parts of the UK.
So
I was forgotten where I'm from again.
This was very science based. I thought you might enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. The thing I didn't enjoy about Dana Brooke's promo was that when she was pointing to the three things that she was referencing, that's not what she was pointing to. She was pointing to, basically, she'd beautiful minded all over this whiteboard to come
that's
up
a
with
a verb, is it?
Yes.
She beautiful minded it.
And she'd written this formula out, and she was using this formula to realise why she was going to win the gauntlet match. probably like leverage or something, I don't know, like pins, the actual fulcrum of the pin, the pressure, that yeah. kind of stuff. But she said there were three things that you needed to have, and then just pointed to random points on the board that didn't correspond to even where writing was. She pointed at three, the two blank spots and the thing, and then she was like, and that is why I'm going to win the gauntlet match.
It's almost like she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yes, it's almost like she's an absolute bull. Codswallop.
When, that's better. That's a nicer yeah, word of codswallop. Saying codswallop. Yes. So what I don't get is this is, you know, it's a nothing promo. No one's ever going to remember this. So why not just make it really fun and pop the people who already know about the Scott Steiner promo and do a full-on 33 1/3% chance of winning...
It's just a very strange thing to. I don't know why everyone was playing it so seriously in their promos as well. Like, also, why were the Riot Squad to LA? But why were they just tearing? Whose stuff was it?
Just the locker room.
Yeah,
they were all out in just catering, maybe
being louts,
searching for their valets.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's it.
So the Deleter of Worlds, which is really hard for me to say, I don't know why. The Ascension next.
I don't understand. Matt Hardy, he's not a very good actual wrestler anymore, but he's...
I'm going to get some heat.
But he's not really. He's quite, like, formulaic. He does the same sort of, like, he's a Five Moves of Doom kind of guy. However, the really good thing about Matt Hardy is his promo stuff as this character. And also all the silly bits he does in the ring. I think all the
audience participation,
like getting people to chant along, doing the wonderful and getting the claps and stuff. There was none of that in this match. There wasn't a single thing in this match that was like, these characters, they weren't even playing their characters. They were just going out and sort of doing their moves. It was so by the books.
Bray did his weird crab walk.
Oh, he did do his crab walk, yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. This was a really just... And it went on for... I mean, it probably only went on for 5 minutes, but it felt like it went on forever.
It felt long.
Because the Ascension got... Like, if you're going to give the Ascension 40 to 50% of the match, but not do anything with them afterwards, then why not just have the Deleters of Worlds squash them?
Yeah. I would like to see the Ascension in a stable with with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that could work. And it's probably the only thing that can...
I would like to see them, be sort of... But then obviously you'd have to sort of... I think you'd probably do them as sort of enforcers, and then you would make Matt heel. But
so this was really the start of when Raw... I mean, it never got good again for me.
No.
This was... I quite enjoyed all the stuff we've already talked about, but from this point onwards, it was an hour and a half of...
I enjoyed some of the
really
results of things.
Yes.
In the sense that it sets up some stuff, but I didn't really enjoy much of the thing.
On paper.
Yeah, I love
retrospectively.
Do you know what? As a much shorter review, it's really good. If you just read what happened, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. When you just read the results, or just look at the little GIFs on Twitter.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Not the YouTube clips. That's too much. But a few spots on Twitter that they...
I'm surprised they managed to find 2 minutes worth of YouTube clips.
So after the tag team stuff with the Deleters of Worlds
and the Kiss of Deletion.
Yes, that's the name now.
Absolutely. I just despise that move. I really despise it. I just think it's awful.
We got the B team in I would say a good funny backstage segment with Kurt Angle. They're like, they come into Kurt's office, whatever it is, and they say they want a title shot.
Kurt's corridor.
Yeah. They say they want a title shot, and they're like, well, you can't just have a title shot. You beat the same team twice, sure, but there's other teams in the tag division. So Bo Dallas mishears that as, we need to win over the tag division. We're going to put on a barbecue for them.
Yep.
And Kurt's very funnily saying, no, I never said that. And Curtis Axel saying, yeah, that's a really good idea. We can do all this stuff. No, it's a terrible idea. So I thought all that was well performed.
Yes, I enjoyed that. It's a shame that it set up something that we had to then sit through. That's the problem, is that it went too far, because they actually executed it.
Yes, because WWE have a pretty strong runners of late with terrible in-ring segments.
No.
Yes. Then we got that Riot Squad promo that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So Ruby is holding the phone, and Liv and Sarah are tearing up people's shirts in a locker room.
Yeah.
I thought it was different.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
It showed, it got over their characters of how they are a bit rioty.
Yeah, they're a bit rioty. Yeah. Next week we'll see them coming out with like TVs they've nicked.
They should be watching
a match. We should cut to someone backstage watching the match, being like, "Oh, they're facing them next week. This isn't, you know, Natalia watching Ronda Rousey in the ring or whatever." And then they just come in and they lift the telly out.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. That's what I want to see. More actual rioting from the Riot Squad, or just more anarchy. Like I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll get to this later with the match. Are they heels? Are they anarchists? Are they like, do they actually beat people down? I don't know. They seem to sort of flip-flop between being just normal wrestlers or people who get squashed, and then they're like, oh, we've actually got some character and we do some stuff.
Yeah, they're very much utility players where they just are slotted into whatever other storyline WWE have going on to set up another storyline. I enjoyed this. It's just, yeah, I agree with you. It's a shame.
The other thing I thought about this promo that was silly is like, obviously they all took a turn talking to the camera, and then at the end they all tried to be in the shot, but it worked like an actual selfie because it was Liv Morgan just kept getting cut out by Sarah Logan's head. She had to be like, yeah, I'm here, still here. Yeah.
Oh, I liked it all. I liked the kind of pose at the end.
Mm.
It looked super stagey, but it was a nice kind of stagey. So then we got Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens. This was just, I mean, by this point in the show, I was out.
Yeah, it was a match that happened.
And this is Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens.
It should have been a bigger deal.
And it was just a match. It was just a headlock, rest hold match.
Mm. Just running the clock.
Mm. So Owens won with a roll up. And then it was all really to set up Braun coming in to chase Kevin Owens for what he did in the opening match. He chases Owens around the ring and then power slams. And then Bobby is kind of really over exuberantly celebrating. And you're like, well, Braun's going to slam you too now.
Yeah.
And that's what
happened. It's like you haven't even watched the show, Bobby. Mm.
Bobby Roode is just, he's one of those other acts, like the Ascension, like the Riot Squad.
It's a shame. On
a treadmill
they
going
just sort
backwards.
Of put, well, yeah, at least Roode has one thing going for him. He's got a really great entrance, and WWE does like to do that. So,
but that isn't even really over anymore.
No.
It's a shame. So then, speaking of not over,
maybe he should do an extra spin.
That would hurt. That would help.
If he spins one more time, and people be like, freshness.
So, yeah, speaking of not over, we had Sami Zayn coming out next to apologise for the Bobby Lashley's family segment from the previous week.
It just makes me cross.
Yes.
I just don't want to talk about it. It just makes me really...
I don't want to bleep anything again.
Just makes me blooming upset.
Mm. And he revealed they weren't actually Bobby's sisters. They were men.
Shock horror!
But that was like... I found that funny.
Yeah.
That he had to... That was a good line. And I always enjoy how Sammy gets the glasses out to read stuff.
Mm.
But everything else was just tedium.
He just looks like a man whose dreams had been crushed. And I feel like it's even more galling that the writers in the back had him say thank you to the management for letting him come out to apologise for a segment you would assume the management put him in.
Mm.
It just feels dirty to me. I feel it's just horrible. Like, he knows it. He knew it was a bad segment last week that he had to do, and now he's got to come out and do another one. And then also say, thank you so much, WWE management, for letting me come out here and apologise to all these people for the thing you made me do.
It's weird how they tied in that the online reaction to it was so negative.
Mm.
And he even said, you know, some people have said this was cringeworthy, that it was awful. And you're like, yeah, but we were like saying the whole set, not your agenda. We were saying the whole thing was awful.
Yeah. The fact that
we weren't kayfabing you, Sammy. We weren't like genuinely buying in that this was an actual Bobby's sisters thing.
No, and then he said it was like a work of art and that some people didn't appreciate artists in their time, but people would look back fondly on the segment.
I don't think so. But then Bobby comes out, and the crowd is dead. Like, no one's into this because this, no one cares about this feud because it's an awful feud. And he says that the, yeah, he, Bobby starts off with a Memorial Day salute because he has that army family history.
And because he's clearly not in the feud either.
Yeah, you, you said this off camera.
Yeah,
you
were, I just said, it's just, it just seems stupid that he comes out and he like, sorry, I've just got some admin to do first, Sammy, so I'm just going to salute, just, I've got a little spiel that I need to say about armies, and then he does a little salute, which, you know, it's Memorial Day, you would do. Just have Lashley come out first and do that, and have Sammy come out and interrupt him.
That would have been much
better. Do it any other way around. Just, but why is he coming out and no selling the fact that like this feud happens? Because then also, after this happens, Lashley offers the matchup to Sammy. So he's clearly cross enough that he wants to beat him up.
Yeah.
But he's not cross enough that he's not going to do the bits that he needs to do. Because he also spends a good like minute or two in his entrance, high-fiving all the fans, like... saying hi to the kid, saying hi to the kids, smiling and waving, and then yeah, he's like, oh.
You are definitely right. I mean, I don't know if WWE would have done it because they're very sensitive about how they portray the army. But if Bobby Lashley was doing this genuine Memorial Day thing, and then Sami Zayn comes out and says, "Well, yep, that's really important, but I need to read this apology."
Yeah,
that's gonna get him like, that's gonna get Sami genuine heat.
Well, also
from the crowd,
maybe yeah, because you could also just be like, he has to read the apology, but he has to do it like the stipulation could just be he has to apologize in front of Lashley.
Set many different ways. Multiple
Renee
different
Young
ways to do it
could
better.
Or could not be there. Your choice, dealer's
I hope
choice.
She comes back.
I hope she does. Maybe she'll just do the sort of reverse, and this dust will appear.
Like, what? Why did Charlie Caruso not get that
around?
Sign?
Yeah.
Bobby offers him the match, and then Sammy shakes his hand, and Sammy's like, "I'm gonna haluva kick that smile off your face," because Bobby Lashley is another smiling baby face that has no real character. And Bobby then, there was a moment of awesomeness. Like, if this was a better booked feud, this would have been a cool moment, but because we're already out of it, it wasn't. But Bobby's face, the smile disappears.
He puts his teeth away.
Yes, and it just puts them in his pocket.
Yeah.
And he starts to crush Sammy's hand, Sammy sells it, and then Bobby starts smiling again. I was kind of hoping he would, you know, that was Bobby losing his smile.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it looks like we're sticking with that. But it's just your point about...
Again, the emotion cards.
It feels like... Sami Zayn is having this feud and trying to do as much as he can.
Yeah.
But Bobby, and I guess
Bobby
that's
is,
kind of the Bobby story,
no
Bobby Lashley's above
him.
It.
Yeah, but Bobby's no-selling him on all this stuff, and it just doesn't... I mean, if he was so disinterested last week in it that they could have just not done this again and not had the match, and I don't think anyone would have minded at all, rather than have to watch Sami Zayn come out every week and try really hard to do something really bad... And then just have this smiling dude come out and just be like, well, this is silly for you, isn't it? Mm. Like, and it is, I just think it's patronising. I just feel like Bobby coming out every week and smiling at him and being like, oh, Sammy, how twee of you. Like, and it's like, you know he doesn't want to say this.
And how can we care if Bobby doesn't care?
Yeah, exactly. If he
like
doesn't,
he's meant to be the guy we're on the side of.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that I think it should have escalated. It needs to escalate quicker. And Zayn needs to be attacking Lashley.
Or at least a real member of his family.
his actual sisters.
Yeah, okay. All three of them.
That's it. Zayn kidnaps Lashley's sisters and then actually replaces them with the three dudes from last week.
Yeah. Perfect. Something. It's better. It's better than what we're currently...
Well, kidnap stories are really hot right now.
Mm. So Mickey James had a promo after this. I think that was the best one of the bunch. She's a great promo.
Yeah. I did
and
think...
Hometown gal.
Yeah, hometown gal. She was also dressed as Wonder Woman, which made me think, what happens if Sasha Banks also comes out as Wonder Woman?
Well, they're different versions of Wonder Woman, it looks like.
There should be like a... There could have been like a no-you-change moment.
Or like they both try and pull each other's headband thingy off.
That would have been nice.
Then
it would have been something that match didn't have, which was anything.
Yeah,
anything.
Drama.
Yeah, anything.
Drew McIntyre beat Chad Gable next, and I've got a theory.
Mm.
When I was watching this unfold, I thought, I know what they're building to. And then I read around and like listened to other reviews, everyone else has had the same idea.
Jordan.
So, yeah, okay. So I'm not that special or unique. But yes, so Chad Gable has now been beaten by Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. It's almost like he needs to get a tag partner, right?
Mm.
That would be like, looking at Raw's tag division, as we'll come on to in the next segment, you've got no one and two single stars as the champions.
Yes.
But if you reunite American Alpha, you've got them, who are a very good tag team and never got the chance they deserved when they were a thing, and Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
And then at least you've kind of got three big-time tag teams there.
Yeah, they seem... All three of those teams would make a great sort of top level of the card.
And do you know who else we've got on Raw that have just disappeared recently? Authors of Pain.
Oh, yeah. I read that... one of the rumours going around is that if there's ever a Roman Reigns heel turn, that it's going to be in a faction with those guys.
That'd be amazing.
I think that rumour has just come out of the fact that they all dress the same.
Probably.
And so they're just already in it. Just in a gang.
Mm.
I mean, it was a nothing match, but...
Oh, this I thought this was a pretty decent match for the time they were given.
Yeah, it was kind of inconsequential, but yeah. I enjoyed... I like the fact that Drew's so big that when he just... His moves, a lot of them, are just, you go over there now. Now you go over there. I'm going to pick you up and put you down, and there's not a lot you can do about it. Now over there. But then Gable sold the hell out of everything as well. He's brilliant.
He's really, really good. There was an amazing bit where Drew McIntyre had Chad in a... What's that called when you hold them like that? Across your body.
Like a cradle.
Yeah.
A baby. And
he just threw him up into a suplex.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that was wicked.
And there was another bit on the outside. We just threw him into the ring post.
Mm.
It was all good stuff.
You go there now.
But it was quite a comfortable win from McIntyre. I think Jordan and Gable getting back together under Kurt Angle's tutelage would be a nice way to retcon, ignore the whole Jordan Angle storyline.
Yeah, I hope they do ignore that, because they were just picking away at that, and it was just less and less believable every single time.
But that match was a brief glimmer of hope in an otherwise terrible last 2 hours, because next up we had the payoff for that barbecue segment that was set up. It was the B team hosting a Memorial Day barbecue for the Ascension, Titus Worldwide, Breezango, Heath Slater and Rhino.
And The Revival.
And very depressingly,
The Revival.
The Revival.
Who would be brilliant in the top of the tag division, as totally. We were talking about. I don't know why those guys...
Injuries, I think.
Yeah.
I think Vince McMahon... Because, Scott Dawson got injured first, and then Dash Wilder got in. Or maybe it was the other way around. But they were out for like 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Right after they debuted.
Mm.
And you can only get injured so many times before management seems to lose faith in you.
Yeah, but I just feel like their style at least sort of dictates that they're quite safe in the fact that because they're ground and pound kind of guys, it's not overtly throwing yourself off everything all the time, is it? Like
you're, and they're brilliant.
And they're absolutely amazing. Brilliant. Yeah.
But yes, this was a absolutely terrible segment. it was nothing that was like offensively bad, like the sisters segment from last week. It was just flat out unenjoyable. And what made it worse was it because it was a comedy segment that the commentators would guffaw over it.
Mm.
Were constantly sniggering. And no one else was laughing.
I think they were just watching the background action. I don't know. I enjoyed... There was like one bit where two people... Scott Dawson cheers the bologna sandwich with Titus, which I just...
Nice.
I enjoyed just as a... It was... It wasn't really part of the segment, but I just enjoyed that they did that in the background. I enjoyed Rhino not getting up and just eating the whole tray of sandwiches to himself when everyone else was fighting.
And Fandango was just... seductive lead in a bratwurst as well.
And also when it kicked off, someone was just pointing one, which is, you know, Rousey loved, I assume.
There was stuff in here that could have made it good. I think this would have been perfectly suited to a backstage skit where you could kind of plan everything out and do the pacing
better. It should have just happened in the canteen, shouldn't it?
Yeah, much better. Or like, where would a stupid place be that the B team could... Oh my God, they hold it in Kurt Angle's office. And Kurt's like, guys, what are you doing? Get out, I told you this is not a thing. It's like, hey, Kurt, we've made you an Olympic sandwich. or something. But they didn't.
It'll be Bolympic sandwich.
A Bolympic sandwich. Everything, really
as everything had to begin with a B in this segment.
So potato salad.
Potato salad.
Chips. It was, you know, it just...
Nonsense.
Like, if you told me about this, the B team hosted the barbecue and they named all the food, like, they made sure all the food began with B. I mean, it's pretty funny. Mm. But it wasn't. It just wasn't.
It's just regular barbecue food and then they shoehorned Bs onto things. Mm. I feel like they should have just done actual B foods.
That was offending you.
It should have been more... Yeah, but because then you're
buns.
Just... Buns, bananas. Just things that aren't barbecue food.
Okay.
And then it gets more and more.
Yeah.
And you just don't...
We ran out of things.
I've run out of things after bananas.
I can now not think of any other food beginning with B.
What else is there? Bologna. They did that.
Baked potatoes. But that is kind of a barbecue food.
Baked potatoes. Just baking things.
Bacon.
Beef and burgers.
Also,
they didn't even have any burgers at their barbecue, though. Is there any other food that begins?
I don't think there is.
I think that's it.
No one's going to have anything to add in the comments.
No, I think we've done a very thorough investigation of that.
That's all the foods. So this ended into a food fight, which I just found patronising as a viewer.
Yeah.
And the B team put Rhino through a table.
Literally no reason.
Yeah, and
but also because it wasn't like it descended into a food fight. Everyone was cross with the B team because they said,
"Oh yes, the point of the
segment." So they charmed everyone with their barbecue skills, mm-hmm. and then they said, "So is everyone cool with us having a shot at the tag team titles?" And everyone went, "Oh, you can't cut the line," blah blah. So I said, "You can't cut the line because there's no macaroni cheese."
And Heath said, "This is a feast. What are you talking about?"
Yes.
Which was quite funny. Because he's a redneck.
And then everyone just said, "Oh, you can't cut the line whatsoever." And then it descended into a food fight. But it wasn't a fight between, like, no one just attacked the B team. It should have been all of them attacking the B team, I feel. So they dunked beans on Bo.
And then it's a powder keg of tension, that tag division.
And then they put potato salad on Curtis. And then all hell broke loose because these are adults.
Yeah. And then Bo and Curtis went backstage afterwards, found Kurt, and said that he booked a tag team battle royal to crown the number one contenders.
Hmm?
Mm, so B team probably going to win that, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
I think that's what the storyline is.
Which means the Revival are getting beaten. And then to cap off a fun 2 hours, we had the main event, which was a gauntlet match for a last chance or second chance of all the lady people who aren't in the Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we started off with Bayley.
Yep.
And Liv Morgan came out. And Bayley hit one move.
The Bayley to belly.
Yes. And that was enough to put Liv Morgan away.
Why doesn't she also do a Bayley to back suplex?
Continuing.
Why is she not running with this?
Yeah. Are there any other ones?
She could have so much more offense if she's doing non-impactful moves, but just adding the word Bayley and that somehow makes them great.
Bayley
headlock. She also doesn't, as a hugger, she doesn't do any sort of hugging-based submission.
Yeah, like a bear hug, a Bayley hug.
Yeah.
But I guess the belly to Bayley is kind of like a big hug.
Mm.
And then you just slam them down. Mm. It's a pretty unthreatening looking finisher.
It's a nonsense move. Mm.
And then Sarah Logan came out.
And she looked good.
For all of a minute. And Bayley beat her with a quick roll up. And that meant that Morgan and Logan could attack Bayley to soften her up for Ruby Riott, who came down.
Yeah, but then they soften her up for Ruby Riott and they literally lay her out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the break and we come back from the break. And the only people in the ring are Riott and Bayley, and they're just carrying on. Can you get DQ'd in the gauntlet match?
I don't know, actually.
Because I guess that's the only explanation, is if you can be DQ'd in the gauntlet match, then it makes sense that Liv and Logan left. But otherwise, why wouldn't you just stick around?
It's a good point.
Because this is where I thought this, like, I thought, I didn't mind Bayley quickly dispatching the two members of the Riott squad, and then Ruby comes out. And then actually the numbers game starts to play against Bayley and she loses to Ruby, who lands a Riott kick.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana comes out, and Ruby dispatches Dana, and Ruby dispatches Mickey eventually.
Who was super over and is a babyface now, by the way. Yeah. Just like Nia is a heel this week.
She's also doing Meteoras now. Hmm. She wasn't doing those before. So she's dressed.
What, Sasha Banks is
So she's now dressed as Wonder Woman and doing Meteoras.
She's doing a, she's reprising the old Trish Stratus obsessed fan storyline from back in the day, maybe. With Sasha.
Yeah, so then, what I didn't understand about this was, again, to go back to the Riot Squad thing, is they don't really have anything that they're doing. It was like they beat down Bayley, but then the match just continues, and then Ruby wins against Bayley without any shenanigans, apart from the fact that Bayley obviously tired from beating two people and also getting a slight. But like, she wouldn't be that tired. She finished one in a move, and she rolled up another one in short shrift, and then she got a very minor beatdown.
Mm.
Then she gets Riot kicked, and then Ruby just looks strong against the next two people. And I just feel like you could have played more shenanigans here to make the end a bit more like.
Or book Sasha at the start. So you have Sasha and Bayley, and they have a longish match.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Sasha just wins that, and then she goes on to beat everyone else, and she ends up against Ruby. So you've got a really tired babyface having to overcome a fresh heel. That's what gauntlet matches are supposed to
who's
be.
Whose mates are also like at ringside because they've just been in the match.
All the odds are stacked against.
Well, I just never understood like that. Why will they not pull the trigger on any kind of Bayley Sasha thing? Like, it's I don't mind what way you want to do it, but even in this match, like in this match, they set it up at the beginning with the whole "her name's not on the contract, it's my name, money in the Bayley." Bayley in the bank.
Bayley in the bank.
Bayley in the bank. And then like
Miss Bayley in the bank. Little,
there's Miss Bayley in the bank. But yeah, so they just did all that, all this setup, and then they're not even the match together. And then there was no like Bayley doesn't come down and save her. Bayley doesn't come down and interfere and not help her. Like, you know.
There was even a bit when Liv Morgan got on the apron when Sasha Banks was facing Ruby. That could have been the perfect moment for Bayley to come down.
Yeah.
But it's almost a rib on us at this point, I think. Just like the Emelina coming soon thing became a joke on the viewers, that this whole Bayley-Sasha Banks storyline is so past its sell-by date.
It's going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And this is not an example of... Did you hear Bayley's interview? She, poor thing, had to make the best of this situation. Mm. And someone asked her, you know, what's going on with this feud with Sasha Banks? And she was like, you know, like all the great long-term booked feuds, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Mega Powers over a year, that one took to Ignite.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
It's not this one.
No. So Sasha Banks won in the end. She did like a cheeky Nando's knee to the face.
Oh,
on this.
Yeah, I loved that. That was great.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then she did that and then powerbombed her off, didn't she? And then...
So,
then
yeah,
locked in the bank statement, but then had to then got interfered on for a bit.
Interfered on. So usually Will Ospreay will do the cheeky Nando's by putting someone up on the top turnbuckle, their legs, and putting their head between their legs and then super kicking them. But Sasha did that with a knee.
Yeah.
That looked really
cool. It looked really good.
But then, yeah, Sasha taps out Ruby to the bank statement. Yeah, just a backwards booked psychology-wise with Sasha being a fresh face going against a tired heel.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. Do you think it's like she's wearing the tape? Was her arm taped up or was that part of her gear? I can't really tell. Because you know she sometimes wears the straps that go down, but she had like one shoulder looked a bit more
surgical.
Tape,
yeah.
So maybe she's not very well.
Maybe, but then why put her in a ladder match in 3 weeks' time?
Well, maybe she'll be better by then, but maybe she has to rest it for this, and that's why she could only have like a 10-minute little stretch.
So it was a good first hour and a bit of Raw, and then the rest of it was really quite asinine. What about you? I gave it poor. I gave it 2 out of 5 overall.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think 2 was what I had imagined it being. I only thought the Seth Rollins Jinder match was any good.
And no Roman Reigns.
No. I thought there was so much potential in it as well. There were so many good, like, there was actually good booking. Rude versus Owen should have been good.
Mm.
Drew versus Gable should have gone longer because it was quite good. And probably should have also had, let's just get Jordan back in.
Yeah, Jordan return would have.
Let's just get him in the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gauntlet match had all the potential to be good. Like, anything with, I think anything with a whole team of heels in it If you've got the whole stable in there, do something with it. Like, and then you've also got the feud, and then you've got filler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dana Brooks, and then Mickey James is filler in this scenario, but
she
also,
was a hometown.
Also, she's
over.
A hometown girl. So you've got like so much room for things to happen. But also because it was only a 20-minute match, whereas the men's gauntlet was an hour.
Oh, close to 2 hours, I
think. Yeah, was it 2 hours?
Yeah, because the first two matches was Seth Rollins.
Oh, yes.
And that was an hour. And overall, it was just shy of two. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have had them go 2 hours.
No, but they could have gone for like 40.
45 minutes at least, yeah. It's a real shame, especially like how Michael Cole built it up through the night as one of the most exciting stipulations in WWE. And well, it was, because you did a very good job of building it up as such with the previous match, but here it was. And there was a really good gauntlet match last summer, which Sasha Banks won, beating Nia Jax at the end. But yeah, this was a bad episode of Raw by the end. But yes, please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk stuff, and subscribe to this channel and the little podcast version here. I'm Ollie Davis, this has been Luke Owen, and that was Rambling.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.